Well, the news in the Klamath Basin is just sort of generally bad. The Federal Bureau of Reclamation, which operates the Klamath Water Project, announced Wednesday that deteriorating drought conditions in the Klamath Basin will mean that the Bureau keeps its Project's A Canal closed for the 2021 irrigation season. This is the first time that has happened in the project's over 100-year history, and it means no water for agricultural users of the project, but it helps keep levels in Upper Klamath Lake sufficient for the survival of two species of suckerfish sacred to the Klamath tribes. However, it also means that there will be no additional water available to avoid a serious crisis on the Lower Klamath, where a pathogen called Serotonova shasta is killing juvenile salmon, as well as other fish. A flush of higher and cooler water flows would help curb the fish kill on the Lower Klamath, but they will not be coming. And that is a huge problem for the Yurok tribe. Here to fill us in on this unfolding crisis are Frankie Myers, who is vice chairman of the Yurok tribe. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Frankie. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for being back with us on the Jefferson Exchange today. And we're also joined by Don Gentry, who is chairman of the Klamath tribes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Don Gentry, let's start with you at the top of the Klamath River system. The Klamath tribes filed a lawsuit earlier against the Bureau of Reclamation, which operates the Klamath Water Project, to force them to keep Upper Klamath Lake water levels sufficient for keeping alive the two species of suckers that are sacred to your people. And on Wednesday, the Bureau said it would maintain those lake levels. Can you fill us in on the current status?
Well, this is the second year that we've had significant problems in meeting the very minimal lake levels that are required in the biological opinion that affects the project operations biological opinion to protect our endangered Tuam and Koptu, the Lost River and Short Nose Suckers. And often it's referred to as sacred. They're sacred from the perspective that our Creator placed them here. They should be here, and we thank our Creator for those every year and pray for their return during our Return of Tuam ceremony. So I just want to let folks know that we don't worship the fish per se, but we realize that we have a responsibility to take care of them according to our stories and our legends and our ceremonies. So, but anyway, to get to the problem, we weren't able to meet elevations last year that provided for spawning at the lakeside suckers on the east side of the lake. And biological opinion says we could only violate that perhaps in 1 year, but we were unable to because of the drought conditions and everything impacting inflows into Klamath Lake. We weren't able to achieve that this year. We were very concerned about maintaining the rest of the biological opinion levels, though we know that the very minimal levels that are in place to protect our fish from going extinct, they're really on a trajectory that's just devastating, especially when you look at our short-nosed suckers, the Tuam, excuse me, Koptu. We only have a few thousand males left of that population based on recent data from research that's been done and monitoring populations. So keeping those adult fish alive in the lake is critical, and also hopefully maintaining any spawning that occurs and provide opportunity for rearing and recruitment into the population, which hasn't happened since the 90s. So all the fish that we have are older fish, you know, the kind of at the end of their lifespan, and in order to have any hope of saving our fish are protected or and important for subsistence and culture, and actually an important part of the ecosystem, we need to do everything that we can to protect them. So so that puts us at a real situation that's terrible, in conflict with our relatives downstream, and Vice Chair Myers and in the Klamath tribes, and we've tried to maintain communication even though we're somewhat pitted against one another through this difficult time. So we're just suffering from many years of a legacy of management and past management that really has had a significant impact on both our Tuam and Koptu and the salmon downstream. So we've inherited this mess, you know. So we don't really want to be pitted against one another. We want to be focused on the real solutions to restore the ecosystem and improve water quality and hopefully return those same chi'alts. Salmon is what we call chi'alts in our language, back up to the headwaters here where they were historically and have been blocked to us when they put the first dam on the Klamath River with no fish ladders. So we have a taste for salmon. You know, we have, I almost feel like it's a genetic need to have those salmon. And
I want to get to some of the solutions and where we go from here a little bit later. But first I want to hear from Frankie Myers, who is the vice chair of the Yurok tribe. Yesterday, the tribe released a really distressing announcement about a major kill of young salmon that is, to quote the release, unfolding in real time. Frankie Myers, can you fill us in on what's and describe what's happening on the Lower Klamath right now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pretty terrible situation we're looking at down here on the Yurok Reservation. You know, the tribe obviously holds salmon as a critical part of our culture, as part of our existence. Our traditions, our oral history teach us that if there ever comes a time when there'll be no more salmon, there'll be no more need for Yurok people here on Earth. And I think it's that idea that pushes the tribe so hard to protect and fight for our salmon. It's what pushed the tribe to create one of the largest fisheries programs in California, you know, second possibly only to the state of California, why we have spent millions of dollars building our scientific infrastructure. What we have now is the ability to track real-time conditions on the Klamath River, whether it be juvenile baby salmon or returning adults. And so what we're seeing over the last few weeks is a steady incline, a steep incline of fish mortality rates in our rotary screw traps that we operate here at the beginning of the reservation, just above the confluence of the Truckee River. We add that with the data collected by U.S. Fish and Wildlife and others from upstream, and we could track a disease outbreak from where it starts to here on the reservation. And we've been tracking this disease outbreak for a few weeks now. I think one of the saddest parts about this is because of our information that we have, because of the array of water quality measuring devices and genetic testing that we do of the water. You know, we were able to bring this up months ago. You know, the idea that we're able to really forecast river conditions and forecast salmon health conditions has been a top priority of the tribe. We are finally to the point where we are able to forecast fish health conditions and determine whether there's a high risk or a high likelihood of a fish kill, whether it's juvenile or adult. We did that this year. We saw the spore counts rising below the dams. We saw an increased count of the worms that produce the disease. We knew this was happening. We presented the data to the federal government, to our federal family, showing them exactly what we knew would happen, and it is now, in fact, happening. For a long time, we have been under the impression that the Klamath is maintained management under the use of best available science. That is what the rhetoric has been. We have known for a long time, and I think, you know, Don can attest, that is rarely how the Klamath is actually managed.
So we're talking with, excuse me, I just wanted to jump in here for our listeners. We're talking about the drought crisis on the Klamath Basin, or on the Klamath River and in the Klamath Basin, I should say. About 2 weeks ago, we heard from the irrigators, the agricultural interests in the Klamath Basin. And today we're talking with Don Gentry, who is chairman of the Klamath Tribes, as well as Frankie Myers, who is vice chairman of the Yurok Tribe. And you can join the conversation by calling us at 800. 800-838-3760 by phone, or the email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Frankie Myers, I forgive me for interrupting you, but go ahead with the point you were going to make.
Oh, I was just going to make sure that our listeners, the folks who are listening this morning, understand, you know, we have to get back to a more sustainable way of living here in the basin. Our tribes have been here since time immemorial. One of the tenets of living here in the basin is you have to live within your means. You have to live within the resources you have available, not the resources you think are available, not the resources you hope are available, not the resources that some government document issue you said would be available, but those that are actually available. There is not a conflict between Klamath tribes and Yurok, I believe. We are fighting here for our existence. We're fighting for the natural world around us, and we're fighting for the future. We know we must maintain an ecosystem here within the Klamath Basin. Otherwise, we are all doomed. And we would hope that our partners and our other communities in this basin would be able to come together and see that for what it is and start working on real solutions of how we can continue to survive here in the Klamath, how we can continue to survive in a sustainable way.
Don Gentry, your release of a couple of days ago stresses the need for a long-term solution to the Klamath River crisis. I mean, this has been going on as long as I've lived here, which is over 40 years now. And that's probably the one thing that all the groups can agree on. There needs to be a long-term solution. So from the Klamath tribes' perspectives, what are your recommendations for cutting through this ongoing zero-sum game where every year there seem to be winners and losers? And unfortunately, this year, we just seem to have losers.
Well, I think there needs to be a long-term restoration plan. Not a water settlement agreement. You know, I just think it's important to note that, you know, we often feel, you know, because of our standing and our senior priority to water, time immemorial priority to keep water in stream for our resources, we're looked at as being the problem and even the solution. If you just give us water, there'll be peace in the valley. We can't provide water. You know, we've developed our claims and have a current standing based on the science of what fish need. And that's what we developed our claims for the streams and lake elevations. And so there was the KBRA, and it just didn't move forward. We're in a very, very serious position. We need to have united support for a restoration plan that that restores, focused on restoring and providing for health of the lake and the river that affect our fisheries, you know, the fish that should be here, the fish that we, when we signed the treaty and ceded our lands, in our case, nearly 20 million acres to the federal government to keep the peace and reserve a homeland so we could fish, hunt, trap, gather, all those things that have survived the courts and are there and remain as essentially a property right. We need to protect those things and provide for those. And we believe the federal government has the responsibility to assist us, everyone here in the basin, in this, even the state, to move forward in restoring the whole watershed, starting into the forest and the legacy of poor past forest management, and then addressing the problems that are affecting water quality and habitats for our fish. So I'm just pointing out that a restoration plan is what we need. It's not a water settlement from our perspective. When we entered into the KBRA, our fish were in poor shape, and there was hope that legislation would move, and then we could actually protect our fish from the status that they're in now, and it didn't move. We can't give water. We can't provide water. But we can certainly work with everybody in the basin focused on restoring the watershed in a manner that's helpful for the fish. And I'm not saying we need to go back and to pre-contact times, in other words, non-native contact with our people. We believe we can make significant progress and improve conditions that will provide for the fish. And I know even dam removal is a part of that. You know, a lot of the disease problems are related to the fact that the dams are holding the rivers back and not allowing them to flush the disease downstream that affects the salmon down below. And but we do have just a legacy of problems from the diking of draining of the wetlands around the lakes and actually nutrients being pumped into the lake, the rivers that have unraveled because of uncontrolled cattle grazing that have created problems with the health of the stream, and even proper function of the riparian zone, like the Sprague River Valley was essentially a sponge that would store and release water throughout the season. Now the water blows through, and what's left in the river is in a shallow, wide stream, you know, that's it's hot, and all the nutrients that are blown down through the erosion from the unhealthy streams is in the lake, and that's what's creating algae blooms and the fish die-offs and water quality problems that ripple from the headwaters to the mouth, affecting all of those resources.
We're talking with Don Gentry, who's chairman of the Klamath Tribes, and Frankie Myers, who's vice chair of the Yurok Tribe. Frankie Myers, I want to ask you that same question from the Yurok perspective. What is your tribe's position and proposals for restoring the Klamath Basin?
I think we have to look at short-term solutions and long-term solutions. I think Chairman Gentry did a fantastic job of laying out really the long-term restoration needs of the Klamath. I think there has to be a consensus in all communities that restoration is a priority. I don't think we have had that in a very long time. And as long as we continue to struggle with the very simple concept that restoration is important and a priority, you know, we're never going to get there. We continue to have arguments with or debates with landowners. It's always a part of the discussion when we talk about what stretches to restore or where we can do restoration. I think that's got to be a huge hurdle that we have to overcome. And I think that's a cultural norm that we have in some of our communities, that restoration is looked at as a negative thing. I think we have to look at it as the new normal for the Klamath is restoration. That doesn't mean eraser culture. That doesn't mean destroying any other communities. That simply means we need to get in a more balanced way. I think the short term, we have to provide relief to our communities right now. It's very, very difficult to sit down and discuss long-term strategies, long-term solutions, when you don't know how you're going to pay your mortgage, when you don't know how you're going to put food on the table. As Indigenous people, we absolutely understand it's extremely difficult to tackle large-scale problems when basic needs aren't met. In order for us to truly sit down and look and vision about what we want the future of the Klamath to look like, we have to be able to come to the table knowing that our basic needs are going to get met, that our children are going to get fed, our mortgages are going to get paid, our rent is going to be due, our bills are going to be taken care of. That has to be the highest priority now. And I think as a community, as an entire community, we have to come together right now to say, okay, regardless of the differences between our officials or our politics or our governance, we have to put our communities first. We have to put our families first. Let's take care of them now. Let's shore up our communities. And then we can come back to the table to discuss exactly what Chairman Gentry said, the long-term solution, the restoration solution. For now, we need an immediate relief bill to be passed, and we need our local officials and our state officials, our federal officials, to do their job, to show up in support of all their constituents, not just a select special group of them, but all of them. I was highly disappointed to see government officials, state officials, local officials, I should say, stand up and take a strong advocacy role for only a portion of our community. That's not how we solve this problem. We solve this problem by leadership, doing what they get paid to do, doing what they've been elected to do, representing all of us, seeing the need, and pushing that need to a solution.
One of the things that I've remember from having lived in the Pacific Northwest, the last time there was a major and seemed intractable conflict was the so-called timber wars of the 1980s. And the President Clinton actually convened a group of experts and heard testimony, and the president himself was in the Pacific Northwest to hear from people about the as I said, so-called timber wars. Is from your perspective, Chairman Gentry and Frankie Myers, is that the kind of level of attention this needs from the federal government again?
I'll let the chairman answer first.
Yeah, I believe so. You know, that it was a disappointment, though. I mean, unfortunately, politics were involved. Even though there was a significant problem addressing East Side Forest and forests in the region here, addressing needs for the spotted owl, but also looking at economics and then also looking at health of the environment. And just, I was working on our natural resource department, and we were dealing with a lot of forestry issues. As soon as the new administration came on, a lot of that good work went out the window and nothing was followed through on. So we need something. We need folks to really rally around this whole concept of a restoration plan that would have the support of all the parties, Democrats and Republicans and folks across the nation and region focused on the solution, something that would survive the administration changes in administration. So, but that's just my initial thought. That's going to be important to have something move forward. That level of attention. We know that, you know, the federal government is focused on restoring the Everglades, and you know, there's been a lot of funding addressed on protecting the values and associated with the Everglades.
Don Gentry, I have to cut you off here. I want to give Frankie Myers, we're out of almost out of time. Frankie Myers, a brief response to that.
Thank you, and I'll be brief. We are very excited about this administration and what they bring to the table of inclusion and looking to the future and shoring up this nation's infrastructure. We see this Klamath Basin as exactly that, a huge piece of the infrastructure for this nation that needs attention, it needs funding. And absolutely, we would continue to push for a Biden-level administrative visit from the president or the vice president to come and sit down with us here to look at the immediate needs and have a discussion with us where we could see ourselves going in the future and to lock down those policies so that they really can have long term effects and long-term positive outcomes for the basin.
We're going to have to leave it at that. We are out of time. Don Gentry, chairman of the Klamath Tribes, and Frankie Myers, vice chair of the Yurok Tribe. Thank you so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.